on the International Space Station and actually replace the Hubble telescope. And I heard many of the scientists say this last week that the Hubble telescope as we know it now is so outdated that the new telescope will give us greater insight into the origin of man, where we came from, and perhaps where we may be going, as they could probe into the depths of outer space. You know, I couldn't help but think if people would just read the Word of God, they would have no trouble finding out about the origin of mankind. The Bible in the book of Psalms 14:1 says that the fool has said in his heart that there is no God. And we have many people that are proponents of atheism in today's world that do not believe in the existence of a superior being, one that we call Jehovah God. But we know that he exists. And if you brought your Bibles tonight, I want you to turn with me to the book of Psalms chapter 19 and verse 1. We're going to probe through the Word of God tonight as we analyze the subject, how does God reveal himself? And it might surprise you to know that God reveals himself in four ways. Four ways. And you can find that out even in the Old Testament as well as in the New Testament as well. Let me share with you what I really believe and how God really manifests himself to you and to me. Otherwise, we would just say, well, I believe there's a God because someone said there's a God. A lot of people just believe in God maybe because it was handed down. One little girl was asked one time, why are you a Christian? And she said, well, I guess it just kind of runs in the family. Well, that may be the way that a lot of people look at it. You know, my mom and dad were Christians, and so therefore I'm a Christian. And, you know, it just wouldn't be right if I didn't go to the same church that they went to when I was young. And so I espouse the same things they espouse religiously. Well, that really isn't good enough. And we know there are numerous examples in the Bible of where people broke with religious tradition to honor God. One of the great examples of that has to be the Apostle Paul, who was a Jew of the tribe of Benjamin, whose mother and father were Jews, but yet when he learned the way of righteousness on the Damascus road, made a drastic change in his life and became obedient to the faith, a believer not only in God, but in Jesus Christ as well. But there are many tonight that do not believe in God. They say, well, you know, I believe in God if I could just see God. Well, I want to tell you tonight that they can see God. We were discussing this morning in our Bible class hour about God, and we made the comment that no man has seen God at any time. The Bible says that. That is true in one sense. But in another sense, you and I have seen God many, many times. Let me leave with you tonight the four ways wherein I really believe that God shows and declares himself openly to you and to me. And let's begin by reading Psalms chapter 19 and verse 1. The Bible says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth forth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where the voice is not heard. Their line is gone out throughout all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. I would tell you and suggest to you, first of all, that one of the great ways that God manifests himself is in the skies themselves. Have you ever gone out, and you really don't have to do it at night. I think there are so many things about the heavens that really manifest God to us. But I think many of us have gone out on a starlit night and gazed into the heavens to see the galaxies, to see the Milky Way, and so many, many others. And we look at that and realize that those things just didn't happen by chance. That they were there because the Bible says that God hung the stars of the heaven. You remember he told Abraham when he called him out of the Ur of the Chaldees, he said, I'm going to make those who follow you and your lineage and all of those who shall come after you as numberless as the stars of the heavens. It doesn't amaze me that, the Hubble telescope or perhaps the new telescope could probe maybe a little bit deeper into the depths of our galaxy and perhaps into what we often call the black hole. I don't really believe that we're going to find out anything about the origin of the universe. I don't believe in what people commonly refer to as the Big Bang theory. I really believe that God created the heavens and the earth, as the book of Genesis chapter 1 says. But there are many people tonight that say, well, you know, we're just going to be able to see much, much more. And that may be true, because the stars are numberless, folks. Isn't that what God said to Abraham? That's nothing new, and it certainly should not be astounding unto us. Did you know that God made us anthropos? That is, that we were made to look up. God didn't make you to look down. Now, think about all the animals that he created. He made animals to look down. Have you ever noticed that dogs and cats and cows and horses, their head is made such that they look down? But God made us as human beings to look up. To look up unto him. We look at the stars and we see God. There are two things about the universe that really arrest and attract my attention. One of them being the immensity of the universe itself. While the firmament and the expanse of the universe, think how big and how large it really is. Did you know in our galaxies there are over 100, listen to it, 100 billion suns, so scientists tell us. Isn't that amazing? I mean, isn't that mind-boggling? 100 billion suns within our galaxies. Did you know that's why, perhaps, believe it or not, 90% of the astronomers believe in God? Now, there are many scientists that do not. But over 90%, according to statistics, 90% of scientists and astronomers believe in God. They know that God hung the universe. They know that God placed the stars in the heaven. They know that God gave the greater light, the sun, to rule the day, and the lesser light, that is the moon, to rule the night. But not only is there that immensity of the universe, but there is that complexity of the universe that really causes me to believe in God as well. You and I hear a lot today about the ozone. People are always talking about ozone action days. You hear a lot about that in the Dallas area, you know, with all the smog and all the other problems that are there, or perhaps maybe in some of the greater Metroplex areas. But did you know that the ozone, which is actually about 40 miles above the universe or the Earth, did you know if it were compressed, it would only be about 1 inch thick? Isn't that something? Isn't that amazing? If the moon or the sun were just 10 degrees closer or further away from the earth, life could not exist as we know it. Isn't that something? Just 10%. If it had just been 1% this afternoon, I would have burned up on that golf course. But 10%. 10 degrees, we couldn't live, couldn't happen. And so God reveals himself in the universe, in the world, in our galaxies, if people just searched for him. When Paul was in Athens, Greece, he says, he's not far from any one of you if happily you seek after him. You know, many people are seeking for the wrong God. That's the reason they don't see God. Now, how could anyone look at this earth and think that it just got here by some kind of cataclysmic event that took place? It's just not going to happen that way, folks. It's not. But it happened because God created the heavens and the earth. Someone said that there are five components that make up the universe, and believe it or not, they're all found in that first verse of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. Think about it. In the beginning, in that one verse, You want to see God? Here it is. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You know what those five components are? Here they are. In the beginning, God, which is force, created, which is energy, heavens, which is space, earth, which is matter. God created the heavens and the earth. He did. All of it came together by Almighty God. All of it. But then there's a second way wherein God reveals himself, and God reveals himself by his grace. By the way, the other one was time. I don't think I mentioned that. Time, energy, force, matter, space. And they're all there in the very first verse of the Bible. People that are searching for God, you can surely find him. But God reveals himself in his grace as well. If you were to look down in verse 7 through 9, listen to it. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making the wise simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Now God has manifested himself by his grace in his holy word. The testimony of God, verse 7, look at, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. That's his grace, isn't it? God, by his grace, has given us his word to enlighten us, as David said here, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise those who are simple. And the commandment of God is pure, it is right. And then the fear of God, in that it is clear, it is not concealed. That's because of God's grace. And you find Paul later saying over in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, for by grace are you saved through faith. It is not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. It is the gift of God. And then there is the judgment of the Lord down in verse 10, where the Bible speaks of it. God reveals himself through his grace. Sometimes we forget that, you know, but you and I will have the opportunity to go to heaven because God revealed himself in his grace. And I'm thankful tonight for his grace. You know, how could anyone think that there's not a God when he would let his own son go and die upon a cross for sinful man like you and for me? Jesus said one time, you know, it's amazing that a man would die for his friends, peradventure that one would die for his enemies. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ did. He died not only for his friends, but for those who were his enemies. But then God reveals himself in another way. He reveals himself in his goodness. If you were to look in verse 12 and 13, he says, who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from my secret faults. And keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. You know what presumptuous sins are? They're willful sins. That's exactly what they are. And God, again, in his grace and in his goodness, forgives us of our willful sin. He says, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins, and let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. God in his goodness. God is good. God is great. There are some things in life that we know that are wrong. And there is a moral alarm clock within our heart that often goes off when we do things that are wrong. And because God is good, he warns us about these things and tries to keep us from falling into the path of sin. Because he is good. Because God is good. You can't get right with God until you know God and until you know his goodness. Have you ever thought about how good God is to you every day? Good to allow you to get out of bed this morning? That was because of his goodness. That God allowed you to live through this day, because there are thousands of people who died today. They did. This very day, they drew their last breath. You think about how good God is to allow you to live and to move and to have your very being. And Paul, again, when he went to Athens, Greece, made that statement that in him we live and we move and we have our being, even as many of your poets of old have said. But it was because of God's goodness to you. That's why I said this morning that you and I ought to feel blessed of God. There are many tonight, even in this congregation, that are ill or suffering with cancer and heart disease and all kinds of problems. You just think about how God, how good He is to you. We sing that song sometimes, God is so good. God is so good. God is so good to me. And He is. And if you are healthy, and if you have the presence of mind, which hopefully most of us do tonight, to be able to function, to move about, we ought to be thankful to God for His goodness and that He has given us a conscience to know right from wrong. And that's really what He is saying here. Who can understand His errors? Cleanse me from my secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from willful sin. But then there's, last of all, another way wherein the Savior reveals Himself, and that is in His glory. In verse 14, the Bible says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. You know, God is our strength, and He is our Redeemer, and He is worthy of glory and honor and power. He is unlike any other God. He is called the true and living God. When Jesus went to that little community of Sychar in the book of John, the fourth chapter, the Bible says that when He went there and He conversed with that woman at the well, He began to reveal unto her that God is a spirit, and they that worship Him are to worship Him in spirit and in truth, and that He is worthy of our glory and our honor because He is a glorious Lord. And He reveals Himself to us in His glory. And you know what? I see the glory of God every day. Everywhere around me, I see the glory of God. And He is worthy of glory and honor. And for those who say they cannot find God, and they just don't see Him anywhere, not looking close enough. Now, I know that those of us who are Christians see, but sometimes we begin to question maybe in our own lives whether God is there, because when we go through great difficulty in our life, we begin to wonder, God, where are you? The way I suffer, if you're there, where are you, God? Are you standing aloof from me? No, God is watching over you, and God is blessing you, and God heals you. And I do believe in God healing people. Just this last week, I was talking with Jim Hahn, and Jim had gone for a number of tests, and they had told him that he had cancer, and that there was a mass on his pancreas, and that there was a mass in his esophagus. And when he went to have tests made just this last week, those who were doing the testing again over in Tyler said, you know what? We don't find a mass. Now, you know, many people would just attribute that to luck and say, well, now, isn't he lucky? But you know what? I believe in God answering prayers. And we've been praying for him. Others have been praying for him. And I do believe that God prayers. And we've been praying for him. Others have been praying for him. And I do believe that God answers prayers. I do believe that. The Bible says the fervent, effectual prayer of the righteous avails much. And I believe that when we pray intently, God does listen. Now, I'm not here to tell you tonight why God allows some to be alleviated of that dread disease and why others suffer through it. But I'm not here to question God tonight. I can only say that He does all things well. And I trust Him and I place my faith in Him because of who He is. And I know one thing, that God knows what is best. And He is a God who is omniscient. He knows all things, and we just trust Him, and we lay everything at His feet, for He is worthy of glory and honor and power because of His goodness and His grace and His majesty. I hope tonight that all of us will have a greater appreciation for God, such a greater appreciation that we will endeavor to be like Him. And I'm not being facetious in saying that. I think we all ought to live like God every day. I think we all ought to endeavor to try to be the kind of person that exemplifies God in our own life. Many, many years ago, there was a story told about a French lighthouse keeper who worked off the coast of France. And he was, as he was showing the lighthouse to some guests one day, one of them asked him the question. He said, "What would happen if the lights were to suddenly go out in this lighthouse?" And his response was an emphatic, "Never, never will they go out." He said that if he permitted that to happen, he would live in fear of being responsible for ships crashing into the unseen rocks of the coast. And then he went on to say, he said, "Sometimes I feel as if the whole world is looking at my light." You know what? Sometimes I feel like the whole world is looking at my life. Honestly. You know, we all ought to feel that way. And if we really believe that, that people were looking at our life, and they are, and they often judge this Jehovah, this God that we're talking about tonight, by the way his children live. Someone has said, and it certainly isn't facetious to say this, that you may be the only God that some people may ever see. Do people see God in you? I believe that God reveals himself through human beings. I believe that with all of my heart. Jesus said one time, when they came to him and said, "Master, we would see thee," or "see God." And he said, "You know what? When you've seen me, you've seen the Father." And wouldn't it be wonderful if people could look at our lives and say, "You know what? I've seen God. I saw him in one of your members the other day." I've had people actually tell me that, believe it or not. And would to God that people could say it of all of us. And so that's why it's so incumbent upon us to be the right kind of example and to bear the image not of the earthy, but to bear the image of the heavenly, our God. Maybe tonight in your heart of hearts, down deep within your spirit and in your soul, you feel that maybe you haven't measured up as a Christian. And you know that you've not really been reflecting God in all that you do. There just may be some areas of your life where people might sit in judgment of God. Well, I hear people say that all the time. "Well, if that's what God is like, I don't want any part of God." I've heard people even say, "You know, God's never done anything for me. I don't need God." How foolish. How foolish. We all need our Lord. And you need him. If you're not a Christian tonight, he is a missing dimension in your life. Do you know what? There is a part of our life, and our life is much like a puzzle in a lot of ways, and there is that little wedge place within our life that only God fits. It's true. And people often wonder why we're not happy. People often wonder why we said this morning, not at peace. It's because we've not allowed the Prince of Peace to come into our life and fill that void. God wants you to do that tonight if you're not a Christian. And you can do that by turning to God and saying, "Lord, I believe that you exist. I believe in your divine being. And I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, to be the express image of you. And I come tonight to confess that. I come to repent of my sins and to get right with you." It's not enough just to know God intellectually. We must know God intimately to the point that we say, "God, I'm going to allow you to live within my heart." Into my heart, we often say, into my heart we sing, "Come into my heart, Lord Jesus." And that's where he wants to be tonight. And if you believe that and you're willing to be baptized tonight at his command, then certainly we welcome you and invite you to do that. Our good brother has selected a song of encouragement and invitation tonight for those who are outside of Christ and for those of us who are in Jesus as we reflect upon our own life before this great majesty, our great God. And if you feel the need to respond tonight, I hope that you'll do that while we stand and while we sing.
Days are filled with sorrow and care.